notes here on the back of the bulletin if you're a note taker. And I'm going to give you an outline and give you the points here in just a second. And I've already told you my title of this message is Sneaky Jesus. So look at somebody and say, Sneaky Jesus. And sounds like a rap song, like I said earlier, but it's not. And actually, when I looked up this word, I heard another pastor say this, and it just went off in me, talking about Sneaky Jesus that I was listening to this week. And then I started looking, I Googled Sneaky Jesus. I was like, is there a song, or is there anything? Is that just a neat way of saying it? And I actually found out it's actually a term where in music and in movies where they try to sneak the Lord in, and they call it Sneaky Jesus in their music, or in secular music and movies. And so I was thinking about it, and we've been in this series, and we're going to conclude it today about going, we've looked at some of, we didn't look at all of them, but some of the seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. We talked about the road to Emmaus and how Emmaus was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and with it being 7 miles from Jerusalem, that then they went to Jerusalem, and they had to go back, or they went to Emmaus and came back to Jerusalem. So it was a round trip. Look at somebody say it was a round trip. And so anyway, I was thinking about all that, and I was thinking about how Jesus snuck up on them on the road. Does everybody remember us reading that? He snuck up on Cleo. And then he sneaks up, we're going to look at this in the Word, he sneaks up on his disciples behind closed doors. And so it just made me, I started thinking, and I heard this pastor say Sneaky Jesus, and I thought, man, and I started thinking about how God has snuck up on me in my life when I didn't know he was there. I didn't think he was working in my life. And then all of a sudden, boom, he surprises me. He snuck up on me. And it made me think of a time. Have you ever had someone sneak up on you and surprise you? Come on now. Yeah, that's right. If you have kids, it's happened to you before. But I'll never forget. It's probably my top five of the most scaredest I've ever been in my life. And it happened from two people that go to our church here. And she's back in the back now. Patricia is one of them. And then Leslie, my sister-in-law, is the other one. And I told Patricia I was going to tell this story today because she snuck up on me one time and surprised me. I'm telling you what, it was a shock. But I was sitting at home, and it was at night, and Jade and I were watching TV, and our doorbell rang. And I go to answer the door. Well, nobody's there. Well, I have nephews that are sitting over here in this area, and they have done that to me before too. And, the ding-dong ditching you, ring your doorbell and take off. And I thought, and I told Jada, I was like, nobody's here. And I was looking around, and of course it's dark, and my porch light only shines out so far. And I thought, oh, it's these kids again, I was like. So I went back and I sat down, at the chair, and just, maybe a few minutes go by, well, it rings again. So I jump up real quick, and I try to catch them, Well, they're gone again. And I'm sitting there looking, and Patricia, because I'm looking out here, but she has knelt down over here by her chair on her front porch, and she's knelt down over here, and her and Leslie had been out walking. Okay, I'm going to tell off on Patricia. Patricia had her fro going on, okay? And at that moment, it looked this big to me. And she is crouched down over here, and I'm looking out here, and she jumps up and she goes, wah! And I swear to God, I thought it was Bigfoot. I thought it was a chupacabra. I didn't know what it was, but it scared the living daylights out of me. And her and Leslie was off in the dark behind a tree and was watching all this. And then Leslie just starts hoorahing. And Patricia starts hoorahing, and she actually falls down. She's laughing so hard. And they said, Mark, they took at least 10 years off my life that night. Because they said, Mark, it looked like you had been electrocuted. She said, you just went. It was very manly the way I looked. Jada felt very secure. She said it looked like I was electrocuted. I'll never forget that. And so it made me think with that. That was a shock in my life, a surprise, and it made me think about how that God is sneaky in our lives. And so I want you to think about, I hope this message helps you think about when God has snuck up on you in your life, when you didn't know he was even around. And there's a tension This is a mystery to me. It's if you're walking with the Lord, and I assume you are since you're here on a Sunday morning, is there's a tension, and this is a mystery of God, between knowing God and then him staying unknown. You ever notice that? It's like God wants us to know him, but then he also wants to stay a mystery. And so there's this tension going on as we walk with him. And it's like we're playing hide and seek with God. And that's why it takes faith. That's faith. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith. The just shall live by faith. We don't live by knowing. We live by faith. And so I often thought about, you know, why doesn't God prove to us that he exists? You know, just absolute proof. Why doesn't he tell us what he wants? You know, we had somebody up here, Brandy's here this morning. She was up here praying for direction in life. Why don't he just, you know, put it in the sky? This is what I want you to do, you know. And why doesn't he remove any uncertainty we have about his nature? And, you know, those are all those mystery questions, I like to say, but they're faith questions. It takes faith to walk with God. Look at somebody and say, it takes faith to walk with God. That's why it takes faith. And it made me think about, when I was studying for this, it made me think about a message that I saw one time by Jesse Duplantis. I like listening to Jesse Duplantis. And you can believe this or not, I actually believe it. But he told the story, it's in one of his books, that he said, when I just got saved, and he goes, I got on fire for God, and I started preaching his word. And he said, and I started seeing his word, how he showed himself to Paul and to Peter and all these guys. And he said, so I started, he goes, in my prayer time, and he said, I started asking God, you know, hey, your word says that you're no respecter of persons, and you showed yourself to Paul, you showed yourself to Peter and all these guys. He said, why don't you show yourself to me? I want to see you. And he was just popping off to God. And he tells this story that one night he was in bed, and he said, I usually sleep on my stomach. He goes, and I was asleep on my stomach. And he said, and all of a sudden, he goes, I don't know whether I was awake or not, but there was just this bright light in the room. And he goes, and there's just this enormous wind in the room. And he goes, and our curtains in our room were blowing straight up. Not out, but straight up. And he said in this big booming voice, and he goes, you got to picture me. I'm on my stomach in on my pillow, laying in bed, and my wife's right here next to me. His wife's name's Kathy. And he goes, and all of a sudden I hear this big booming voice says, you asked to see me, turn around. And he said, I'm laying there in bed going, I ain't turning around, you know. And he said he did it again. He said, you asked to see me, turn around. And he said, at that time, I'm looking over at Kathy. He goes, and there's this wind, those curtains are flying up. And he said, and I'm trying to hit Kathy to wake her up. And he said, and I start bumping her because she's looking straight up. I want her to see God. I'm too afraid to turn around. He goes, I'm trying to hit Kathy. And said, she's just laying there going, you know, snoring through all this. And he said, and the third time, he goes, you asked to see me, turn around. And he said, about that time, I decided I was going to turn around. And he goes, it just stopped. It was gone. And he said, I felt bad. He goes, here I am praying for God to show himself, and I don't have the gall to turn around and look at him. And I just thought, it made me think of that story. So you might want to try that. You might want to start praying that prayer. All right, turn to John chapter 20, and we're going to put it up on the big screen, and we're going to read some scripture here, starting in verse 19. It says in John chapter 20, and this is on, so you know where we're at, on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road, which we believe was Cleopas and his wife. They have now, when I said earlier about the round trip, he appeared to them, he proved himself to them, showed who he was, revealed himself, you know, through the breaking of the bread. And now they have made the round trip. They have went back to the disciples that are at Jerusalem. And so we pick up this story in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Everybody say, sneaky Jesus. Notice he didn't go through a door. He just came, right in there, appeared to him and stood right in the midst of him and said, you know, every time I read that, me and God have this sense of humor. Every time I read that, peace be with you, I was like, God, did you really say boo? Because, I mean, I can imagine when he showed up and said, peace be with you. Can you imagine those guys jumping? I would have. I mean, he don't open a door, he just appears. So, sneaky Jesus. Verse 20 says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Everybody say, "God breathe on me." Yes. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." We always call him Doubting Thomas, but I'm going to tell you something. We're all like Thomas, more than we know. We're all the time, "God, prove yourself. God, show yourself. God, show me what you're doing. God this, God that. Unless you do this, I'm not going to believe." Right? We're all like Doubting Thomas. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.'" Sneaky Jesus. Look at somebody say, "Sneaky Jesus." There he is again, sneaking up on him. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" When God shows up, when God sneaks up on you in life and surprises you, that's your response. How many of you ever look back on what you've been through and you see God's hand in everything that was going on and you're like, "My Lord and my God, you were there the whole time and I didn't even know and I didn't think you were." That's where Thomas is at. Verse 29, "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed.'" And then Jesus is talking to us that are here today. "Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." Guys, Jesus is sneaky. I know that's, I was telling Tay and them, they were all laughing at me earlier. I was like, "Sounds like a rap song, doesn't it? Jesus is sneaky." And so here's what I did, guys. Even though I've had people sneak up on me before, I had Patricia, I told you that story. I actually Googled, thank God for Google. I actually Googled and I said, how do you sneak up on someone? And did you know that there on Google, there's actually steps on how to sneak up on somebody? You can find anything on Google. And I know we all know how to sneak up on somebody, or some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us are not very good at it. Patricia is really good at it. I just wish you guys could have seen the fro that she had that night. It was huge. I love Patricia. We have a good time. She's a great church secretary and does a whole lot here behind the scenes, and she's a great gal, and appreciate her so much. But she likes pulling pranks on me. She's ornery too at the same time. But I started looking at these steps on how to sneak up on somebody, and I was like, man, these correlate exactly how God sneaks up on us in life. And so I'm like, God is having this fun time with us playing this. It's because it takes faith to live with him and walk with him and all that. And so I'm going to give you the steps on how to sneak up on somebody, but this is also the steps on how God sneaks up on us. So here's point number one. There's four of them, guys, four of them. Here's point number one. This came straight from Google, guys. This is where this message comes from today. Number one, find the person you're looking for. Find the person you're looking for. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, God, that's what you do. You look. You're looking for those that have their heart turned towards you so that you can sneak up on them and surprise them. And here's what I started thinking about. We hear this terminology all the time. Well, Mark found the Lord. You know, Kenneth found the Lord. No, we didn't. The Lord found us. He snuck up on us. And thank God that Kenneth and I both responded when he snuck up on us. And we responded by faith when he snuck up on us. And this goes with Luke 19, verse 10. It tells us why Jesus came to the earth. It says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's wanting to sneak up on everybody. He's coming to everybody. And, you know, I started thinking about my storyline in my walk with God actually started when I was about 9 years old. And I was in the Baptist church here at Leedy, and that's when the first fingerprint of God came on Mark Haney. I can remember it. The first fingerprint came on Mark. And then again, it happened again when I was about, I'd say like 13 or 14, I had another experience with God, another fingerprint of God. And then And then, you know, I was going my own way, doing my own thing. But God, I can look back still, and God was still working in my life, even though I didn't know he was around. And I wasn't acknowledging him with my life. My heart wasn't turned towards him, but he was still hunting me down. He was still searching me out and finding me. And I can just think of stories and scenarios of little things and God bringing people across my path. You know, I think about the college days, and I know we got a lot of college-age kids in here and kids that are fixing to go to college and in high school. And I'll never forget, I wasn't living for the Lord, even though God had put his fingerprint on me and all that. And I was and this is how God brings people into your lives. God uses people, bring them into your lives so that he can sneak up on you. And I was in a dorm room where there was a guy that was there on our dorm floor. I happened to be on the dorm floor where there was one guy's mission in his life was to get everybody on that dorm floor saved. And God put me on that floor. And this was a college-age kid. And I can remember he was studying engineering. I found him on Facebook. I sent him a message of what an impact he made on my life just here about a year or so ago. And I guarantee he probably fell out of his chair when he read it, because I was telling him I'm a pastor now. And he was just overjoyed about that. But this guy, he didn't know it then, because I never showed it to him. But he was witnessing to me every time, and he had Bible studies once a week on the dorm floor, and he would come and invite me. And there was times that I went, and there was times that I didn't. But the times that I did, I always got something out of it. And seeds were being sown into my life. And I'm going to tell you, at that time, if you told me I was going to be up here preaching the gospel, I would have laughed at you. God was saying, you know, Mark, I've got, your destiny is to be a pastor. If God would have told me then, I'd exploded into 50,000 different pieces. I wasn't ready to hear that. But God was gently sneaking up on me and leading me. And his name was Derek Gregory. And he was in engineering, straight A student. I mean, this guy had it going on. He knew where his life was going. I wanted to be him. I was like, man, I wish I was like him. I wish I knew what I was going to do in life. You know, at that time when you're in college, you're just like, I have no clue. I just hope I have cereal for tonight to eat. You know, that's college students. You know what I'm saying? I remember being there. I just hope I have something to eat tonight. I can go bum some pizza off somebody. Been there, done that, you know, and wasn't even thinking about the future. But when you get around somebody that's got their life mapped out and is going and God's destiny's on them and purpose, and you know, you're just drawn in. And that's what Derek was to me. And I can just see at that point in my college career, that was when God put his thumb on me, another thumbprint. Well, it was after we got married. You know, marriage will do a lot to you. You know, and we'd been married for a year. Yeah, we got married at the age of 22 on August the 22nd, 1992. The deuces were wild that day, and we got married. And I just said that. Morgan's over there going, I can't believe he just said that. I did say, Morgan, I say stuff worse than that from the pulpit. And Jade and I, a year into marriage, and I'm telling you, our marriage was not on the rock. It was on the rocks. You know what I'm talking about. And at that particular time, we both said she had the fingerprint put on her at a young age, and we both looked at each other and said, you know what? We need to start going to church together. We need to get this figured out before we start having kids, you know? And she was like, yeah, we do. And we'd had that talk, and we started going to a church. And at the age of 23, we both went through water baptism again because we needed it. And we said, we're starting right here, right now. And we're going to raise our children to know the Lord, and we're going to serve him no matter what. And that was at the age of 23, and we're still doing it today. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And I'm just, but here's the deal. What I'm going to try to tell you is through all that, God was finding us. God was sneaking up on us, and we were just responding to what was going on. Okay, here's number two. Number two, this is how you sneak up on somebody. You're learning something today. So you can sneak up on somebody this week. Number two, you got to slowly move closer to them. Slowly. And here's what I liked about God, and I started thinking about this. God never does anything fast in our lives. It's just like he's, you know, we want the microwave God. God's a crock pot, you know. And That's what we want, and that's how God, he's working real slow in our lives. He gets drawn closer all the time, and he's all the time close when we think he's far away. He's all the time close. And the reason why we don't feel that he's close is because he's not moving fast. He's taking his time with you. He's doing working on you. He's building character. He's doing all kinds of things on the inside of you. He's more concerned about the inside of you than what's going on the outside. And so look at somebody. Somebody needs to hear this today. Brandy, you're one of them, and there's a lot of others in here that need to hear this, is God is closer than you think. Look at somebody and say that. God is closer than you think. And this is Hebrews 13, verse 5, and this is the second half of the scripture where it says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You've got to know that. You've got to have that down in here. Even when you don't feel him, even when you don't see him, anything like that, he is closer than you think. He's right there with you. Okay, here's step number three. Everybody ready for step number three? This is a big one. Okay, when I stepped out on the porch, Patricia was right there. I didn't see her, even with her big hairdo. I don't know if I thought it was a flower pot or what, but she was right there. And then she just jumps up, and I go, you know, and I thought later, you know, if I was a real man, I'd have went, boom, knocked out my church secretary, but I didn't. I was more like, eek, you know. We still laugh about that. Patricia still laughs about it to this day. Ask her about it after service. It was funny. But here's the third step on how you sneak up on somebody. You got to control your breathing. They can't hear you. You can't be sneaking up on somebody going like Darth Vader. You know, you can't do that. You got to control your breathing. And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, okay, God, how do I, you know, you're sneaking up on us, and what does that mean, you know, with, and here's what I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, the breath of God in Scripture is always refers to the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is a lot like controlling your breathing, because he is working in your life. He is the third person of the Trinity that's here on the planet with us. God is in heaven on his throne, Father God. Jesus is seated at his right hand. The third part of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit, and he is here on planet Earth helping us live this godly life, helping us walk by faith and all those things, teaching us, guiding us, and directing us. And so the Holy Spirit is working in your life even when you can't see him or feel him. It's like the breath of God breathing on your life. And here's what God, and I'm sitting here thinking when I was studying this, okay, the controlled breathing, it's the Holy Spirit working in our life. And I was like, okay, God, what's the purpose of your sneakiness? Because, you know, I mean, Jesus, you know, whenever the first time he came, he snuck in through a baby, born in a small town like Leedy, not a big town, not a capital, not anything like that, snuck in. And then he snuck out, you know, snuck in, snuck out. And then, but the next time he's coming, guys, we're going to hear a trumpet. It ain't going to be sneaky. Everybody's going to know who the King of Kings is and the Lord of Lords. That's the way he came the first time. And so I was sitting there going, God, what does your sneakiness prove to us then? What are you trying to tell us? And there's three things I want you to just write down under point number three, the control your breathing. There's three things. It's God's omnipotence, his transcendence, and his sovereignty. These are big doctrinal terms, but I'm going to break it down redneck for you here in just a second, okay? God's sneakiness proves his omnipotence, means he's all-powerful. His transcendence, time doesn't mean nothing to God, okay? He can do anything. And then his sovereignty, those three things. And so I was like, okay, God, I know those big words, they're doctrinal terms, you know, and I could teach on them and all that, but me and God, I said, God, you're going to have to give that to me in redneck, because that's how I look at everything. And so here it is. God's sneakiness proves that God is in control in your life. You're not, nobody else is. I don't care what's going on in your life, who's doing what to you, they're not in control. The devil ain't in control. Whatever you're fighting, battling today, he ain't in control. The person that's in control is God Almighty. If he has your heart, God's sneakiness proves that he is in control. Okay, here's number four. We've learned how to, what was the first step? Find the person that you're looking for. Second step is slowly move closer to them. Third step is control your breathing. And here's the fourth step. What Patricia did to me is surprise the person. Surprise the person. God doesn't scare us, but he does like to surprise us because we're his kids. How many of you got kids in here? How many of you like to surprise your kids? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you have sneaky kids? Yeah. Taya's got a way of wording things to get what she wants. And if I say no, she'll come back around and ask again in another way. And when she was little, she used to do this all the time. And then I started figuring out what she was doing. Is she's trying to get her way. And she's being very sneaky about it. And some of you are like that with God. Excuse me. Those lemon cough drops you gave me are choking me up. But we're like that with God. We're sneaking around trying to get God to do what we want and tell him, go this way, and then it doesn't happen. Then, okay, I'm going to ask him this way. And here's what you got to know. God's in control, and he knows what's best for your life. Father knows best. Surprise the person. I'll tell you, here's the sermon in a sentence. The sermon in a sentence is this, guys. I waited to the last to tell you today. No matter what's going on in your life, that's not the sentence. Here's the sentence. God is always up to something. Look at somebody and say, God is always up to something. And here, let me put some stuff around that. Is it doesn't matter if you can see him. It doesn't matter if you can feel him. All those kind of things. God is up to something in your life. If you're a Christian and you know the Lord and he has your heart, at all times he is up to something. God is producing good even when things are going very wrong. Sometimes there are, and I'm not talking about this. I mean, if there's things going wrong and you're making bad choices, that's a whole nother message and a whole nother sermon. But sometimes we can be living right, doing the right thing, and still all things, you know, all hell breaking loose and everything's going wrong. Here's how we think, and we got to get on God's wavelength, his perspective. If things are going wrong, then they can't be right. And here's what I found out. Sometimes when things are going wrong, they are going right. Because God's working something inside of you, working on your character. There's all kinds of examples in the Word of God. I'm going to mention two guys in the Word. Joseph and Job show that living a faithful, moral, God-centered life does not mean that things are always going to go right. But you know what? When you study those two guys out, Joseph and Job, God was sneaky. And God was working everything out for their good. He was working behind the scenes to bring good into their lives. And what if you read the end results of Joseph and Job, Joseph was promoted to the prime minister of Egypt, and Job was restored double at the end. And that's exactly what God is doing in your life right now. He is working behind the scenes, causing everything to work for your good. And this is what I love about God. God was sneaky then, back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how he snuck up on his disciples. His character hasn't changed. He is still sneaky now. And he's sneaking up on you today. And here's what I love about God. He is graciously sneaky in a very good and a very loving way. And, you know, I thought about a lot of things as I was preparing this message, how God has snuck up on me in my life. And I'll never forget, of how God brought us to Leedy to hear. When I graduated from here, the last thing I wanted to do was come back to my hometown. I'm just telling you the truth, and I know I've shared this sometimes with some of you here. And lo and behold, that was my destiny, and I didn't know it. God did, but I didn't. And I was saved, and I loved the Lord and all that, and I'll never forget, went to a Promise Keepers meeting, and I ran into that guy over there. Out of 60,000 men, we run into each other. In fact, he comes and sits right in front of me. And then after the thing was over, I was wanting to talk with him because Mark and I hadn't seen each other in a long time because at that time I was living in Elk City. He was still in Camargo. We'd been, going two separate ways in life. And anyway, after this event, 60,000 men going out of this place, we run into each other again down in the parking lot. And we had a conversation. And then he goes home, and because that was an imprint, God footprint and fingerprint in Mark's life at that event, mine too. He goes home. I'm in Elk City knowing that God's called me in the ministry, but don't know where I need to go, if I need to go to seminary or any of that kind of stuff. I'm still searching and seeking. Mark goes home, goes back to his home church, finds out that they're without a pastor. Well, he calls me, and it says, hey, would you like to start filling in? I said, yeah. So we did this for 2 years, from 98 to 2000, driving right through Leedy going to Camargo. God's sneaky. He's sneaky. Because I was driving right through my hometown saying, you know, that's not where, and God was already had spoken to me that we were going to plant a church somewhere. I didn't know where. And then through, I could go on and on and on about this, but how God snuck this in. But through a series of events and different things, God spoke to Jade and I both that this is where he wanted this church at. God is sneaky. But for 2 years, he was working on me, sneaking through this town. Every other Sunday, sneaking through here and ministering to people. And I love God's sneakiness. He's awesome. And I admire it. It's something to be praised. And here, I'm going to leave you with the scripture and this thought, okay? Anytime God sneaks up on you and shows himself to you, what he is doing to you is telling you how much he loves you. His motive behind sneaking up on you is not Patricia's motive to scare her pastor to death and take off 10, 15 years from his life. God's actually wanting to add to your life, give you abundant life. He's wanting to surprise you. And so when he sneaks up on you, that immediately what you need to do, my dad have talked about this many times, and I'm talking, guys, in the smallest of things, he's wanting to sneak up onto you, like giving you a parking space somewhere. Give him praise for that. I mean, just thank the Lord. Thank God for the little bitty things, not the big, gigantic, the little bitty things. Thank God for that, because he's sneaking up on you. And the motive behind his sneakiness is love. Look at somebody and say, God loves you. So therefore, he's sneaking up on you. He's sneaking up on you. Here's Romans 8:28, and this is my last scripture. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God is working everything to your good. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I pray that this message spoke to you today. And as God begins to sneak up on you in life and you start seeing his sneakiness, when you look back and say, man, God, you snuck that in. You snuck in that blessing. And God, when I didn't think you were there, I didn't think you were hearing my prayers and all those things, you snuck up on me and you surprised me with a blessing. And then that's your response in that moment when you recognize God, and even in the smallest of things, is to give him praise. Give him praise for it. God is always up to something in your life. Even if you don't feel him, even if you don't feel like he's there, he's always up to something. He's trying to produce great good even when things are going very wrong, because he loves you. His motive behind all of it is love. And if you're here today, before you leave here today, I always do this every Sunday because I don't know who's here and who's watching by church's aid, but I want to make sure that you know the Lord. And the Bible tells us it's very simple how we do that. We have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We need to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's out of Romans chapter 10. And I just want to lead you in a prayer. This is a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for me, and you rose again the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I want you to look at the person next to you and say, hey, guess what? God's up to something in your life. Amen. And I'm going to speak this blessing over you, and we'll be dismissed. And if you need special prayer concerning anything, Jade and I are going to be here to pray with you. So, but I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Guys, there is power in the word, and there's power in this blessing. And I you know, it's something for me to speak this over your life, but I want to encourage you, have meetings in the mirror and speak this over your own life and speak it over your families, over your marriages, over your kids, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Go hug somebody's neck. Don't sneak up on them, okay? Hug somebody's neck and say, God loves you. You guys have a blessed week. Love you guys. What's up, Jay Guy? I'm good, man.